Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Lola Pops Off About Dramas with your host, Lola. Welcome, welcome back, everyone, to another episode. And as you can see by today's title, we will be throwing it back with Lola to 2004's What Happened in Bali. This drama is also known by many other names, few being Something Happened in Bali, as well as Memories of Bali. So that is all the same drama. And we're going to be throwing it back. We're going to be going back to 2004. I'm super excited to be starting the actual season with all of my throwing it back episodes. And that is what's to come. This is what's to come. What I'm doing in this episode will be on repeat for the entire year. I will sprinkle in once a month a Rambles and Musings episode that kind of catches you up on everything that I'm currently watching, that's currently airing. But most of the month and the episodes will be dominated by dramas from yesteryear. And I am already enjoying myself. So, spoiler alert, I'm having a good time. So, let's get into this drama, What Happened in Bali. I'm going to start these episodes with a little background information as far as who's the kind of production team behind it, the cast, and then the release time, and any of my kind of initial experiences with this drama. Then I'll get into a synopsis of the drama, and then we'll get into my initial thoughts, my midpoint thoughts, and my final thoughts on this drama. And I will most likely in most of these episodes kind of round it up and let you know my favorite parts of the drama, my least favorite parts of the drama, and would I recommend it, and if I just generally enjoyed or liked this drama. So that is going to be the structure of these Throwing It Back episodes, and I am ready to go. So let's talk about who is the team behind What Happened in Bali. So we do have the directors. We had a main director and we had an assistant director. The main director for it was Choi Moon-suk, and he did dramas back in the day, such as Angel Eyes and Will It Snow for Christmas. Those are probably other ones that most people may know from him. And then the assistant director at the time, Lee Lee Myung-woo, he actually seems to be still actively directing. He did Boyhood just from last year, The Fiery Priest, and One Ordinary Day. So it's like he's been the most active out of the production team, because going to the writers, we have Kim Ki-ho, who hasn't done much, honestly, as well as the other writer, Lee Sun-mi. They seem to have been like a little kind of couple team, a dual team. They work together for a lot of their dramas leading up to What Happened to Bali and a little bit after. And then it looks like they kind of fizzled out around 2012 with Fashion King starring UIN and Shin Se-kyung. So didn't seem like they're still working. Same thing with the main director, Choi Moon-suk. But I will just jump in and say that this drama and Kim Ki-ho, he won for Best Screenplay for the Big Sun Awards. And then Best Actor, Best Actress was actually Zhou In-sung and Ha Ji-won. And then Big Sun for Most Popular Actor was So Ji-sub. So that is going to lead us into our cast here in a second. But this drama was released in, I think, January 2nd, 2004. And I personally watched it in 2007. And it was one of the first K-dramas I watched after Coffee Prince. So this is very early, you know, K-drama journey for Lowe. So that's why I had to throw it back to this one first. I really did. But going into the plot, I'm sorry, going into cast and then the synopsis of the story. So we have for actors Ha Ji Won, and you of course may know her from things like Secret Garden, The King Two Hearts, Empress Key. She also did some other kind of oldies like Wan Ji Yi, as well as Damo, which was I believe before she did Memories of Bali. And then I personally am a huge fan of hers. Absolutely adore her, and I love her most in The King Two Hearts and Empress Key. I also enjoyed her in Damo. I love her in her action-esque roles, to be honest with you. When she does action, I think she's fantabulous. So I'm a fan of hers, but also really good at rom-com setups as well. So love me some Ha Ji Won. Next on my list here for the cast, I have Zhou In-sung, one of my all-time favorite actors, hands down. He is in my top 10 list of favorite actors, but he is known for a really old drama. I think one of his first, Piano. There's also Spring Days, which is another popular oldie of his. Love him maybe the most in that Winter the Wind Blows. Personally, that's just me. And I also really like him in some of his movies, A Dirty Carnival, A Frozen Flower, yes, The King. So I do enjoy him. I really, really do enjoy him. And then next we have Soji Sub. And sometimes I refer to him affectionately as Subby with one of my friends. We call him Subby. But Soji Sub, known, of course, from Sorry I Love You, Cain and Abel, The Master's Sons, All My Venus, the movie Always, and A Company Man is another one of his movies. And I really enjoy him as well. I think my fave from him personally might be his movie Always, maybe, and then The Master's Son. I really liked him in The Master's Son as well. And then rounding out our cast, we have Park Ye Jin. She hasn't been in many things where she's like the lead role, like on her own, kind of like standing on her own. But people may know her from The Great Queen Seol Dok, as well as My Princess and Thank You for My Life. Also amazing actress. But as far as like kind of bill, she's a little bit lower on the bill here. But other than that, that is our cast. Now, let's go into a quick synopsis of the drama, and that should really kind of set us off for talking about what happened in Bali. So here we have Lee Soo-jung, played by Ha Ji-won, is a travel agent who is seeking her good luck in Bali after a harsh and unforgiving childhood. She meets Jae Min, played by Zhou In-sung, Kang In-wook, played by Soo Ji-sub, and Young Ju, played by Park Ye-jin, in Bali. And they are three seemingly perfect people. However, they're entangled in a love triangle. When Lee Soo-jung finds herself back in Seoul, her desire for success leads her to seek Jae Min for a job, unwittingly setting off a course of events that further complicate that love triangle. Now, that is actually a really good synopsis of this drama. It is definitely a way of knowing what this drama really is about. But what this synopsis does not provide you is obviously trigger warnings. This is a drama that I have to say is not an easy watch at all. There are so many triggering moments and actions of a lot of the characters. So I just want to preference me even talking about this episode, you know, talking about this drama in this episode by saying that there is just so much, there's so much violence. There's like assault of varying kinds throughout this drama. And it's such a physical drama. And I talked about this when I talked about Secret Love, when I threw it back to Secret Love last year. And it was the same feeling where it's like, and I said this about Secret Love, which was obviously a much later drama. And I said, it felt like it was, one of the last of its kind in that genre of melodrama, where it's like this really physical and painful mellow style drama. And this is because I think I was comparing it to the dramas like What Happened in Bali back in 2004. So it was definitely, this was a type of drama that you saw very often early in drama land. And when I say physical, I really mean actually like people slapping, punching throughout the entire drama. Like slaps and punches were all the time. And this was including really bad sound effects. I might add. I mean, it was so distracting sometimes. Like, that is not a slap sound, but okay. But there's also this kind of physicality of some of the unwanted sexual advances, and sometimes consent is blurry in certain situations. So there was just a lot of moments where I was like, wow, there's a lot of going on here that is making me really uncomfortable, right? And to be honest, I knew the minute I went back to some of these older dramas that this was going to be something that I had to brace myself for again. And obviously it's not something I should have to brace myself for again. I could just choose not to watch these things. But because this was one of my first K-dramas that I ever watched, I had to go back to see where I was when I was watching this type of drama and where I would be with it now. And we watched it since the first time I watched it, and that was probably for a reason. But rewatching it was definitely an experience that I was glad to have again, to be honest with you. If not only to appreciate where we currently are with dramas these days. So some of the things in this drama just would not be seen, I think, on a normal weekend drama these days. It's just the type of style, the mellow, it's just not present today. And that is probably for the best. But what I also wanted to see, with keeping that in mind, I wanted to see if there was still merit in this type of drama, this type of style of drama, this story. Is it completely dated with this problematic nature and misogynistic nature? And if so, you know, is there something there, you know, or is it no, this should stay in 2004 kind of thing. So with that going, with all that preference, with all that kind of trigger warning, I just wanted to say, you know, up front so that we can be on the same page that what we're going to talk about may not be easy to talk about. So, and I also wanted to say that this drama is one that you can easily read about online, scene by scene. So there will definitely be spoilers in this episode because it's just so easy to spoil this drama for yourself just by Googling it. So I think it would be okay for me to go ahead and spoil it in this episode. But also, if you are wanting to watch this drama, this is a type of drama that I think you might need to know some spoilers of before you get into it, because spoilers might actually be more helpful than harmful in this type of situation, because you might need to know if this is a drama you can even stomach. So that's why I'm going to give all the spoilers. I will, you know, I'm not going to hold back in that regard. I'm not going to go into scene by scene and, you know, actually recap this drama in details, not doing that at all. But in the process of me kind of talking about my thoughts on this drama, I'm definitely going to have to reveal some of these major plot happenings. So let's go. Let's get into this. So what I want to start with, again, is my initial thoughts. I'm going to talk about how I was thinking, some kind of thoughts. I've written these thoughts out, right, of kind of what I was thinking in the first opening episodes of this drama. And I may actually give a setup for the drama when I talk about it before we go into the rest of my thoughts. And the first thought that I wrote down is the introduction of the love triangle and the Soo Jung character. So again, Soo Jung is played by Ha Ji Won. And when I say that, I have to mention the introduction of this love triangle, because it's like, is it a love triangle kind of thing? But it's just this complicated situation that we are introduced to very early on. And so I want to bring that up first. And then once we establish that, I think talking about the rest of the drama will flow a lot easier. So the drama lets us in very early on, opening episode, to these three characters. These three characters are, again, Jaemin, played by In-sung, In-wook, played by Ji-sub, and Young-ju, played by Ye-jin. And Jaemin and Young-ju are introduced to us as two wealthy, rich, you know, people who are being put together to be married by their very wealthy families. Their families own companies, and these companies are trying to merge, of course, through marriage. And so they have been told they are to be together. They obviously don't have any desire to actually be together. Jaemin, who works for his father's company, absolutely just doesn't care much about the company, just wants to be a playboy. When we first see him, he is waking up in bed with some woman after a one-night stand, and then being, you know, waking up by a call from his mother telling him, you know, reminding him he was supposed to be somewhere with his fiance, Youngju, and she's there with Youngju now, and he needs to get there. So he sloppily arrives to this kind of, you know, store where they are, and Youngju is immediately rolling her eyes. She can't be bothered. She's like so annoyed with him. Yet these are these two people who are supposed to be married, right? Who are getting married. And so that is our introduction to these two characters and their relationship. They could care less about one another. They don't have any interest in being together in romantically in any way, shape, or form. However, they are told they aren't supposed to be together. They have accepted this, but at the same time, they don't care anything about one another in that regard. Those are our two, the first two in this triangle. The next character is Inwook, played by Jisub. And Inwook is introduced to us because he is living in Bali now. And he's just moved there. And the reason he's moved there is because he works for the same company that Jaemin's family's owned. He works for this company. And the minute he gets the chance to relocate, he takes it and he relocates to Bali. The reason he relocates is because he is actually in a relationship with Youngju. They've known each other since college. They've been like, you know, college sweethearts the entire time they've been together. But since then, since the beginning of their relationship, it was established that he was poor, she was not, she was the wealthy girl, and that they could technically never actually really be together. They could never marry. So he's always been comfortable just being, you know, her guy on the side to some degree, because he knows at some point they were going to have to break up. He had made peace with that, but they have a really bad breakup once he finds out that they're, you know, they're together, and she kind of breaks this news to him again, like, you know what, I'm engaged to be married, you knew this was going to happen, you know, sucks to be us, right? But this triggers him to be like, okay, great, fine, now is my time to kind of like go my own way, I'm leaving, I'm off, first chance I get to Bali. The problem with this is that Youngju, of course, she's a rich, spoiled girl. She doesn't want that to happen. She wants her boy toy there all the time, even if she can't actually be with him marry him, and she has to marry this other man, she still wants him. So she takes actual offense to him running off to Bali. She's like, how dare he leave me? He knows how much I love him and care about him. How dare he go? Even though they're technically breaking up, they know they can't be together. So to him, he's like, okay, bye. And she's like, no, but I still want to see you. And so out of spite, she books it to Bali. She immediately is like, you know what? I can't handle this. I need to go see him. I have to confront him. And she's confronting him again, angry that he had the audacity to run off to Bali. So the minute she gets into Bali, she finds him, pulls up at his place while he's like getting settled, and slaps him. Like, just slaps him. So this is our introduction to the relationship between Inwook and Youngju, her slapping him because she thinks, how dare you leave me, even though they are not together. So she comes all the way to Bali to slap this man and then complain and cry and whine to him about how much she hates the idea of getting married to this guy she doesn't want to get married to, but also that, you know, she wants to be with him still. So in her head, she's like, let's at least try to make the best out of this time, me being in Bali with you. Let's try to do something, and then I'll go my separate way, I promise. She convinces him to have his last hurrah with her in Bali, and she will again promise to officially break up and go her separate way with her fiance, right? So that's what we have. This is all the first episode, mind you guys. This is just the first episode, okay? We haven't even got to episode two. So this is the intro to this three and this coupling. This is where we start. Now, mind you, we have Inwook and Youngju both in Bali now. And Jaemin is still in Seoul, but he's getting in trouble. When we find him back in Seoul, he's in trouble because he has some scandals going on with an A-list female celebrity. And, you know, that's like, ooh. isn't he engaged to be married? How is he, you know, with this actress kind of thing? So his family freaks out on him and they're like, absolutely not. You need to make things right. Whatever's going on with you and Young Ju, you need to figure it out, make it look good, because you and your scandals, we can't continue on like this. It doesn't look good for us. It doesn't look good for the company. You need to get it together. You're marrying Young Ju. Everybody knows that. So get it together. So because he's in the hot water, he's in trouble. He is like, okay, where's Young Ju? Let me try to make amends. Let me try to make it look like we actually are together and I like her, whatever. Let me actually try. So he makes it up, you know, in his head, like, I'm gonna actually try with this fiance of mine. And when he decides this, he's like, where is she? And then like his, you know, his secretary is like, oh, she's gone. She's in Bali. And he's like, why is she in Bali? Of course. He's like, what is there? What's in Bali? Why would she be there? And then, you know, his secretary is trying to convince him, like, oh, you know, maybe because the wedding, you know, she's getting married, she's getting cold feet. Maybe she wants to have like a last moment in Bali, a vacation, just to gather herself before she's no longer single, you know, like giving him excuses of why she could possibly be in Bali. And he's like, I'm not buying that. How about you get somebody out there to tell her and you guys let me know what she's really doing down there. So he's waiting for news about what his Young Ju is doing in Bali, and he finds out that she may or may not possibly be there with some guy. You know, they don't give him details, but he kind of, you know, he catches that and he's like, you know what? I need to go down there. I think I need to go pull up and see what's actually going on with her. So he catches a flight straight to Bali. And the minute he goes to Bali, he knows exactly where she is because he's had a tell on her. And when he pulls up, he's like, surprise! Hi, my fiance, how are you? And who is she, of course, with? She's with Inwook. And it's because she's with trying to make this kind of moment with him before she leaves Bali, right? So she's, you know, standing between these two men and kind of like looking back and forth in shock. And she presents Inwook to Jaemin as if he's, you know, this long lost friend. They used to go to college, you know, together. And she's like, oh my gosh, we just ran into each other here in Bali. Like, it's so good to see him. Acting like she doesn't know this man to that extent at all. And Jaemin is, of course, looking between the two and he's like, I don't buy it, but sure. And because he's petty and childish, Jaemin, this Jaemin character, he's like, you know what? Invites Inwook along to like dinner with him and his fiance. And then he finds out, and the thing that Inwook finds out in this meeting is that Jaemin is her fiance. He did not know who her fiance was at the time of them breaking up. He just knew she was to be married to some other rich guy. And so he's like, you know, doesn't know this. But when he notices that her fiance is his boss, like the person who runs it, you know, over his company, it gets really, really awkward for him, of course, because he's like, oh man, now we're talking about bringing my job into this. And now I have to kind of like, you know, make sure nothing gets out or something about our relationship. So it's just an entirely awkward situation that becomes their interactions with each other while they're in Bali. And that is how we, again, get introduced to these three. And so now that we're in Bali, right, and we have these three, you know, forcibly interacting with one another, because Inwook, he really was just trying to be in Bali working his job. He was not trying to start anything back up with Young Ju, but of course she drug him back into this. And then Jaemin, who is trying to supposedly make it work with Young Ju, now is just being spiteful and annoyed that, you know, she had the audacity to have this other guy. So he's doing everything he possibly can to make her miserable and make her uncomfortable in this situation. And in doing so, they start a trip together. They start to kind of like do activities together in Bali. But at some point, we get introduced to our Soo-jung character. Soo-jung is a character that, me remembering this drama, I think I misremembered her. So in my eyes, when you see her in Bali, she is this happy-go-lucky, perky, you know, hardworking girl. And we know, poor girl at that, and we know that character in K-drama. That is a character we still see to this very day. Happy-go-lucky, always, you know, smiling, even though she's getting dirt kicked in her face, you know, poor. Everyone falls head over heels for her, you know, just this type of character we see all the time in K-drama. But that's not Soo-jeon to some degree. I'm like, wait a second. I really remembered her as being this version of herself in Bali that we meet her. When she gets to Seoul, that's not her. That's just not her character. And so I have to say, forgive me, Soo-jeon, for misremembering who you are, because that was not, you were not that. You were not that simple on paper. And I really, really appreciated that, but she definitely was not that. But that's how she is presented to us in the opening episodes, the first two episodes in Bali. And she's presented this way because in Bali, she is working. She is doing her job as a travel agent. Again, for like this kind of shady travel agency. She's kind of working illegally. It's kind of underground, but she is working. She is doing her gig. She is very proud of the work she's doing in Bali. She speaks multiple languages. She's taught herself languages while she's living there. And she, it's great with the locals. Like she knows her way around. She is this kind of just wonderful, fresh, breath of fresh air when we meet her after dealing with the tensions and the tense nature of these three characters. When she comes into the scene and she is introduced to them and introduced to us, we're like, oh, finally, someone who has some personality, some life, who's smiling, who's being bright and upbeat. Nice to see her. But she is thrown into working with them because they need a travel agent who is going to help them, tour around Bali. And she takes up this job, very happily, because they know that the son of this big company in Korea is there with his fiance. And so they want to get this gig and, make money off of this. And so they're like really welcoming this trio. And the other thing we get to see about Soo-jeon and this introduction to these three is that she is drawn initially to In-wook, because of course he's very handsome, but he also is very reserved. He's not wild and kind of mean and just disrespectful like Jaemin. But so she immediately is kind of drawn to him because of that. But then she also is drawn to him because she immediately assumes he's the wealthy guy. He's the son of this big company in Korea. Of course he is, because he seems to be the person that gives that off. And so you think, is she drawn to him because she's just physically attracted to him? Or is she drawn to him possibly because of who she believes he may be? And they all let her believe that for a little while until she, eventually finds out that, no, he's down like her too, in a way. And Jaemin's actually the wealthy one. But that is something that they make sure to kind of give us an insight to her character a little bit of like, this may be something that this character is drawn to. Maybe money, maybe this wealthy, maybe a wealthy man. Maybe there's something there that about her character that makes her think that this is a guy that she would want to ever be with because of the money. So it's just really interesting that they gave us that little tidbit in the beginning, even though, like I said, initially when you're watching her character, you really immediately are like, yeah, love her, got it, makes total sense. So yeah, just very, very cool introduction to characters in this story. And the other thing that I thought that was interesting was this concept of Bali, because they are in Bali for, like I said, just the first two episodes and not even the full second episode. And I was thinking Bali was a little bit more centric to the story and maybe they had more of a time in Bali, but it really is a short time. And instead, it's just this place that triggers the rest of the story. Like, had they not met all up in Bali, the rest of the story would not have happened. And I love that. And the other thing that I have to say is that this story itself and the structure of it and the way that it started to make me realize, I think, why I feel so spoiled by older K-dramas and how I feel like when I watch newer K-dramas, I'm sometimes referring to how I felt watching some of these older dramas. And I think it comes off like I'm just bashing the newer dramas, but it's really that there is something that they used to do back then that they don't do as well these days in K-dramas. And it is this basic story structure. The basics, like storytelling 101. Some of the things are just very obvious about, like, this is how you tell a story. I saw it so beautifully done in the opening, let alone the whole story or the whole drama, but in the opening of this drama, I was just like, wow, this is what I'm talking about. And it's the structure of this story. They first gave us a very recognizable structure, which was the classic, a character comes into town kind of setup. And in this case, I say character comes in town, but it's really Soo-jung coming into these three's lives and in Bali. But it is this kind of same structure where you have a character who is going to be coming into town and going to completely rock and shake the town and the townspeople in it. Like, this character, get ready. Everything that happens now is going to be because of this character that walked into town. And I think this was the same setup with Soo-jung. She kind of walked into these three's very well established relationship and their lives. She just kind of pops in, right? And then you also have this element of character development that, again, spoiled. I mean, this drama spoiled me. Like, this is what I'm talking about. Like, I miss the way they set up these characters. So like I said, we jumped in episode one. We were in the thick of it. We knew exactly what was happening. They did not waste time. We got into the nitty gritty of their relationships, right? We got into it. And then when we get introduced to Soo-jung, we start to get little tidbits very early on of like some kind of underlying characteristics of her that aren't fully revealed, that may be completely masked by what we're seeing on the outer appearance of her. But technically, they were dropping these little hints and these little moments. And I was like, oh my goodness, look at the way you're building character. Oh my goodness. I mean, so good. So, so good. Right out of the gate. This is only two episodes in, guys. And this is a 20 episode drama. So to tell me like it can't be done, it can be done. I mean, just from the beginning, you can tell they knew what they were doing with these characters. Now, the other things that I want to bring out in the early episodes is the actual violence against Soo-jung from the start, from the beginning of this drama. Soo-jung is immediately at the hands of multiple people, to me, violated, be it emotionally, be it physically. She is taken advantage of. She is pushed and hit and berated and belittled from the very onset of meeting her, which again is jarring. I mean, absolutely jarring. I was in shock that out of the gate we were seeing her, you know, getting pushed into a pool. Like, her opening scene, she's like in a pool, fell into a pool, and she's like laughing about it, and going about her day. When she first meets In-wook, which is before she meets all three of them together, she actually meets him the night before that, and he saw her climbing out of the pool or whatnot. And their initial meeting, they connect because they both speak Korean, and she's like, oh great, can I, you know, share the cab with you back to this side of town? And he initially is like, whatever. And then she keeps trying to talk to him while they're like in the car ride together, and he gets annoyed with her talking to him, and he kicks her out of the cab that they were sharing together. And I just thought, in the middle of nowhere in Bali, like, it was so like, why would you do that to her? You know, like, I know you guys are strangers, you don't owe her anything, but you should have never let her in the car if you were just gonna kick her out for just talking to you. So like, things like that from the very start, like, you are like, why are they treating her this way? Like, why is this character so just, like, I hated the initial introduction to this character in that regard, where you like her off the bat. Like I said, she was a breath of fresh air the minute she came on the scene. And then yet we immediately also, as much as we welcome her, we start to see her getting, you know, just completely abused. And we're like, whoa, this is not nice. And again, like I said, it's emotionally as much as it is physically at times throughout this drama. So that was another thing that was very jarring initially for me at the start of this drama. And then also, I just got to come back to my initial thoughts being how well they built the characters and the relationships between these characters. Because the other thing that was lovely and wonderfully done is that, again, Soo-jung, when we meet her, she's a very extroverted person because she is a tour, you know, she's a tour guide, basically. She's a travel agent. She has that personality. And so, and these people are Korean. They speak Korean. So I think there's an initial affinity that she has for these people when she's taking them around on their little tour. You can tell. She's like, okay, they're a little weird. They're kind of off. You know, they don't seem to be very friendly, but I'm going to do my job to the best of my ability, even while, you know, maybe ripping them off a little bit. But I'm going to do my job well. And she's such a great, you know, she's laughing. She's having a good time. And they're just kind of like, ugh. Rolling their eyes, nose in the air, and like fighting, but you know, amongst themselves. And she's just like there for the ride, but she's like, you know, doing her best. But what they start to do is they start to establish for all of the characters, Jaemin, Young Joo, as well as In-wook, they start to establish their own individual connections with Soo-jung. So we have moments with Soo-jung and Young-joo in the bathroom. And you see Young-joo looking her up and down, like, ugh, with disgust. But then you also see Soo-jung looking at her, feeling this, you know, insecure and kind of self-conscious, but then also wanting to kind of gossip about the situation and like the guys, you know. So you see her still being kind of very open to this girl who obviously wants nothing to do with her. Then you see her, again, we saw her initial interaction with In-wook, and again, she is also just drawn to him initially because, again, she thinks he's quite refined given the comparison, which is Jaemin, who is out of control while really rude at a lot of times. But in this situation, there are moments where she catches him, you know, staring at her, looking at her weirdly, you know, she catches all of that. And then we get, again, very early on, first two episodes, I think second episode, we get Jaemin propositioning her. Because again, mind you, he's like staring at her here and there throughout the little tour she's giving. And she's like, okay, that's weird. And then they kind of all hang out at the end of the tour, at the end of the night, and tensions are high between the three and they're drinking. But while they're drinking, Jaemin and Soo-jung are kind of having this kind of banter back and forth. So, you know, like there is something there on Jaemin's side of things. And Soo-jung's kind of just, like I said, drinking and having a fun time because she's a fun personality. And he gets really drunk, gets in a fight with In-wook, like a physical altercation, as in like punches are thrown. And she feels responsible for kind of like returning them to their respective hotels and stuff. So she takes him back to his room. This is Jaemin. She takes him back to his room and he's drunk. She has been drinking, but he immediately is like, you know, kind of hops up and propositions her, like, because this is after a fight. He is upset about realizing the connection between In-wook and Young-joo. And it's obvious that he's getting, you know, the short end of the stick to some regard. So when he sees Soo-jung in his room, he immediately propositions her as like, how much will it be? You know, I mean, literally, this is out the gate. And when I tell you, I was just so annoyed with his character from the very beginning and just annoyed at how they were treating Soo-jung. Like, you just met this woman. It was horrible. And she gave you no... At no point did she give him this kind of idea that he would have the right to even proposition her like this. And so he does. He tells her, how much will it be? And she's sitting there like, are you kidding me? Right. And she's like, well, you know, she kind of like, and the thing is, well, Soo-jung, she's like, no, absolutely not. But she also plays into it a little bit, like, how much then? You know, like, and he like throws money at her and she's like, you know what? No, never mind. You know, the way he treats her, she's like, no, absolutely not. And he throws money at her and like, she, of course, she takes that money and she leaves. But when she's taking that money and she's leaving, it's like this really horrible scene of her like walking out of the hotel, dropping the money. She had broken her heel earlier in the day. So she's like falling on the floor and she's crying. And it's just a horrible, horrible introduction to them and those two. So it's like, mind you, we're gonna watch the rest of this drama with all four of these people. And from the beginning, you think you have this happy-go-lucky character who is like, oh, nice, bringing some laughter and joy to the drama. And it's like, no, because immediately she gets crushed and she gets beat down and she's not happy about it. So obviously you're gonna get this character who's not having a good time, but all the characters are now in this situation where it's like no one is okay with anyone. To some degree. So just very, very very jarring start to a drama where everyone and everything is just like bad, bad, and a little bit more bad. But again, the way that they set up these characters and their relationships is A1. You cannot take that away from this drama. Like, A1. Now, that's my initial thought. Now let's go into some of my midpoint thoughts. And this is obviously fast forwarding all the way into episode 10 of this drama. So much happens. And again, I'm not going into details, but the most important thing that happens in the middle of this drama, or leading up to the middle of this drama, is the paralleling of characters. And when I say that, I mean, they basically show how Soo-jung and In-wook are two sides of the same coin. Same with Jae-min and Young-joo being two sides of the same coin. So Soo-jung and In-wook, we recognize how similar they are in kind of their situations. And we recognize the same thing with Jae-min and Young-joo as we go throughout this drama. And let's talk about some of those similarities. So Soo-jung and In-wook are apparently from a poor background. In-wook has a history of being raised by a single mother who was in a very abusive relationship with his father, and to this day remains in abusive relationships here and there. And he is always coming in to try his best to like support her, but it's just, he feels kind of helpless in how she kind of carries her own, takes care of herself. And then you have Soo-jung, who is orphaned and only has her older brother, but her brother himself is such a thorn in her side, in that he is just a deadbeat, doesn't keep a job, and always falling for scams and putting and asking her for money that she does not have, and putting them in situations where she is at the hands of violence because they owe money for some reason, right? So they are both with this one sole family member who they can take or leave, honestly, because they bring nothing but pain into their lives. And so for them, this is, you know, this is a similarity. Something else that is very similar to one another is this kind of idea of work and stability. So Soo-jung and In-wook are both, again, from poor backgrounds, and they always find themselves next to each other in one way or another. And when I say that, is that they, throughout the beginning of the drama, have these moments where they keep showing up and living by each other. They meet each other on the plane, you know, like they keep running into each other. And this comes back later as a moment of contention for Jae-min, but we'll get to that in a second. But Soo-jung and In-wook, they seem to have a tie. Like everything, like random events, coincidences, destiny, fate, keep bringing them together in some way. And so much so that they live in this very poor neighborhood together as neighbors. So obviously, again, their connection there, they're both living in the same neighborhood right next door to each other. So it shows their kind of poverty situation, but then also work instability, in that Soo-jung, when she leaves Bali, it's because she's been completely taken advantage of and scammed by her boss. And so she comes back to Seoul with nothing. And she just ends up living with her best friend on her best friend's floor, basically, because she has nowhere else to go. And In-wook, on his situation, he comes back and he's like, I gotta really work hard so that I can leave living with my mom, have my own situation, get myself set up and stable, and progress through my career at this company. Because obviously I can't hold on to Young-joo anymore. So I gotta do this myself. So they both have this kind of idea of like, I gotta work to get something. And if I don't work, I'm not gonna have anything. But the other thing that they have that is very similar is that Soo-jung and In-wook latch on to wealthy people with the hopes of potentially using that to help stabilize them, because they're not used to having any stability, right? And we find this out from In-wook first, because of his relationship with Young-joo. She and he had a relationship, yes, and there may have been actual true feelings there, but In-wook ends up letting her know to some degree that, you know, I was using you too. Like, you wanted to have this cute guy on your hip. Yes, but I also wanted you because of your connections and who you are and what you were close to. So let's be honest, we were in a relationship that was you know, for actual gain and benefit to some degree. And he lets us know this. And then Soo-jung, who doesn't have this history like In-wook does, starts to live out what In-wook has already experienced with Young-joo, with Jae-min. She puts herself in front of Jae-min, begging him for a job, asking him to help her out with money. And Jae-min, knowing that she needs these things, starts to kind of feel like this is his way to collect her. He's like, oh, she needs this money? Sure, what are you gonna do for me then? Oh, you want a job? Sure, what are you gonna do for me then? You know, she allows this to go on because she thinks, hey, if I latch myself onto this wealthy man, who's to say what I can't gain from him? Because she starts to gain things from him. She gets money, she gets a job, you know, she starts to gain. And In-wook is watching this. Mind you, they live next to each other. They have this friendship that they're already forming, this relationship that they're forming. And In-wook is slowly watching, though, Soo-jung look like him and the way that she's interacting with Jae-min. Like, why not, you know, give in to this man if I can keep gaining things to help stabilize my life? Why not? And that's where you're like, oh no, Soo-jung, don't do it. Please, whatever you do, don't do it. But again, Jae-min and Young-joo, in their relationship with these two people, know that's what they have over them. They know that if I have the money, I have the riches, I have the wealth, I have the connections to kind of guarantee good things for you or bad things for you. Mind you, Young-joo, she gets spiteful. So like I can make or break your life. And they know this. And so in Jae-min's situation, he starts to pull Soo-jung along with these little carrots. You know, he's like dangling this carrot here, dangling this carrot there. And Soo-jung's going for it initially, while In-wook is like, don't do it. You know, he's on the back looking out for her because he's like, I know what this is. I know where this goes. It doesn't go far. But yet Soo-jung is still being tempted by the promise of potential that Jae-min may have. And this is so hard to watch. The middle of the drama, I was just like, this is torturous because you are watching the spirals begin. Like, it's such a slow spiral, but it is spiraling. And you're like, oh my goodness, there is no good that will come from any of this by the end of this drama. There's no good. There is no good with these four. There is no good. And even when they give a glimpse of their relationship between In-wook and Soo-jung, who again, they are close. They start forming this little adorable little bond and they go out and to karaoke together with her friend and they're grabbing dinner and Soo-jung really opens up to him and he opens up to her. He takes her to visit his mom's restaurant. You know, like you start to see like, wait a minute, these two might actually have some good that no one else that they're interacting with brings them. These two have good for each other. And so you're getting a little excited for them and what may be forming, but the drama never really lets you go there with that. It never fully lets you be satisfied or happy with In-wook and Soo-jung's character because, and their relationship, because it keeps shaking them up. Like every time you think they're getting somewhere, Jae-min or Young-joo come in and completely rock them. And then they go back to square one. And it's so hard to watch. Like I said, this is all, you know, going into throughout the middle of the drama where you're just like, this is getting harder and harder to watch. And so one of my final midpoint thoughts was, and I wrote this down, I said, love, is it in the room with us? Because there's the word love being thrown around in this drama and it's nowhere to be found. It's nothing of the sort. Nothing of the sort. The only thing that, the thing that they're labeling as love is actually obsession. And it's disgusting because again, the only time you actually see that there is some actual sparks or potentially, you know, care for one another, it's between Soo-jung and In-wook. You actually see these two caring for one another. But what you see is Jaemin and Youngju throwing around this kind of like, I want to be with you. I need you. I love you. Why can't I be, you know, you, I need you, you, you. And it's just obsessive from this rich, these rich people perspective. Like, you just want something that you can't have. And in the process of that, you're saying, you know, I love you, I need you kind of thing. And it's so frustrating to watch because it's like, it's not love, guys. It's not love at all. One of the main things that you do get to see, though, in this center of the drama is how Jaemin and Sujung interact and how Sujung's character really starts to get revealed. Oh, I said originally Sujung's character appeared to be this type of character where it was like, oh, it's the girl, you know, the poor girl with the heart of gold kind of scenario. It's during the beginning, the center of this drama, that you really start to see how she is starting to think. And it's that I need money, I need stability, and the only way I may be able to get that is to latch onto this wealthy man. And because she starts to think like that, not because she's wrong, she does need money and stability. Trust me, the way this girl was living her life, she needed some help. But because she's so desperate and she's aware of her desperation, she really does latch onto Jaemin. And it's not to say that he does not completely take advantage of that and of her, because he does throughout this drama. I mean, horrible. He's horrible with her, absolutely horrible with her, but she does kind of take it. You know, she actually, it's like coming back. She keeps coming back. And again, the worst part is watching In-wook being, you know, looking at her from afar, like, stop. Please don't do that, please. But yet he also isn't nice to her in those times too. And he sometimes pulls way away from her. He pulls back from her and he kind of, you know, looks down on her because she is doing something that he himself has done. Admittedly, he has done. Yet he, you know, puts his nose in the air at her and what she's doing and some of the moves she's making. And it makes their relationship rocky. And it's like, you guys actually had something, okay, that you could go on, something you can build on. But then that interaction, it starts to get a little rocky because of Sujung's character, again, being a little back and forth, being desperate. I think she uses the word at times, like, I'm so desperate that this is seems like the only thing that makes sense for me. And Jaemin exploits that to the highest degree. And when I said, you know, love is in the room with us, that does lead me into my final thoughts of this drama. So, like I said, love is not in the room, obsession is. And then you start to think about how this is tied to the kind of the idea of money and what money may lead people to do because they need it, right? And it made me think about so much that everyone was hurting in this drama, so much so that it led them to hurt other people. And it was so frustrating to watch because Jaemin, being a character that is a spoiled brat of, you know, rich boy who is immature and spiteful and disgusting at times and disrespectful all the time, still garners some sympathy from me. Not a lot, but a little bit. And it comes from the obviously his upbringing and his situation with his family, and that he's actually abused by his father, like physically, like his father beats him with a golf club. Like there is an actual scene. So horrible, right? So he knows violence, he knows abuse, he knows hurt. So it does make sense that the way he treats someone that he thinks he cares about and he loves with so much hurt and pain as well, it starts to make sense. Like this is a cycle of abuse that he lives in. And so it gives you a little bit of like, oh my gosh, he's hurting too, you know? Even though that's not giving his character any excuse because he's horrible, mind you, throughout the entire drama. So much so that when we talk about the ending, you'll see. But it was cool to see how a character so disgusting as him could still garner my interest in him, right? Not saying that I appreciated him or loved him or anything like that, but like it honestly had me invested in what is going to happen to this man? Like, why, what is he ever going to not be as horrible as he is? Is there any saving grace for him? It does make you want that for him, even though, you know, no, there isn't. And then with young Jew, she crumbles into a thousand pieces by the end of this drama. I mean, she seems to have this air about her, like, I get who I want when I want. I got money. If I say I'm going to marry you, I'm going to marry you. If I say I can't marry you, I'm not going to marry you. If I say I want you to be by my side, I want you to be by my side. You know, she gives that air off the minute we see her, and she tries to uphold that for a good part of the drama. But by the end, she is a mess because she knows she can't have anything that she thought she wanted. She, at one point, she wants Inwook. The next point, she wants Jaemin, and she's not having any of it. She doesn't get any of it. She doesn't even get an inch of it. She actually marries Jaemin. Jaemin and Youngju actually get married, and yet she still cannot get this man. This Jaemin completely pushes her away and won't give her an inch. Like, he is horrible to Youngju as well, when she actually has made peace with the fact, like, I'm never going to be with Inwook. I cannot have him. He does not want to be with me. I'm going to try to make this work with Jaemin. And guess what? He wants no part of it by that point, because he is so obsessed with Soojung. And then his obsession with Soojung leads us to this horrible moment of him having to, I guess, decide, to choose. Do I choose what my family wants for me, or requires of me, over this woman that I really, really want? Because that's what I took it. I didn't take it as love. I took it as, and I really, really want. And if so, like, what choice should I make? And he makes the choice of, I'm going to do what my family requires of me. And so he does not choose her in the end. And then the minute he does not choose her, Soojung's like, that's fine. I'm going to be with Inwook. I don't need you. I thought I did at some point, but I don't need you. So she says, I'm making my choice too. I don't want Jaemin. I want Inwook. And Inwook's been there the whole time waiting for her. So he's like, perfect. Now it's me and you. But the minute she decides that and runs off to Bali with Inwook, guess who is not having any parts of it? Jaemin. And the reason why Jaemin is not having any parts of it is not because he is like, she left me, she chose him over me. Because again, he didn't choose her either, right? He didn't choose her either. So he can't be mad that she chose Inwook. He thinks, because he's told, honestly, that Inwook approached the company with Soojung for a reason, to basically tear him down and tear his company down. And he was working there just so he can ruin the company and ruin all of this stuff for them and him. And it was just it was all a ploy from Soojung. And so she never had any interest in him, and she never thought of him in any kind of way. She didn't give him an inkling of like, let alone love. So you know what? These two people are the worst people, and I have to deal with them myself. And so what does our Jaemin do? This is our ending of what happened in Bali, okay? Soojung and Inwook return to Bali, because Soojung makes it very apparent and very clear. And even from the very beginning of the drama, when you watch her in Bali, you know that she was her happiest when she was working in Bali, before everything, you know, turned to what it turned into. She was finally making a living for herself. She was in a beautiful place. She was her best self when she was living in Bali. And so closer to the end of the drama, she's making this realization with Inwook, like, that's where I want to go back to. I want to go back to that point. There are points when Jaemin in the drama, he states and exclaims, I want to go back to my life before Bali. And so you go back to this point, that moment in Bali was so important to those people's lives that they either want to go back to that life in Bali, or they want to go back to the life before they ever went to Bali, right? And Soojung and Inwook know how important that place is for Soojung, and Inwook's like, let's run off, let's go, let's get out of here, let's run away from Jaemin and Youngju. We don't need them in our lives anymore, let's go. So he does what he does to kind of set himself up, and he does screw over Jaemin's company in the process. And so that was him, that was not Soojung, that was him. So he does do that, but he uses that to take Soojung away to Bali. And when he goes back, obviously they know that they go to Bali because they're like, we need to get Inwook back because he screwed over our company. So they're basically on the run at this point. And Jaemin takes it upon himself to go to Bali. We see, and this is like the last 5 minutes of the drama, we see him arrive in Bali. We see him approach some guy on the street. We see him talking to the guy in secret. And then we also see cut to Soojung and Inwook in bed together. You see Soojung on the beach for a little bit. You see them kind of enjoying the sun. Then you see them in bed together. And he's holding her, and she's, you know, they're just having this moment where they're talking. And while they're talking in this moment, in this scene, Soojung is, you know, kind of staring off, like, you know, a little bit staring off blankly. And Inwook is like, you know, we're here, we are in Bali. Like, how do you feel now that you're here in Bali with me? And it's apparent immediately that Soojung is not happy. And Inwook isn't looking at her. She's just laying on him, and he's staring at the ceiling. She's staring at the ceiling, but he immediately starts to get emotional because he knows something's not right, right? You know, they're on the run in Bali, gorgeous Bali, but something about her being in Bali, he recognizes she's not happy with. And he's like, what is it? You know, he's asking her, what is it? And she starts to cry, and he starts to cry. And she basically lets him know, I left my heart and soul with Jaemin. And when I tell you, rewatching that scene and hearing her say that, I could not believe it. I think back when I first watched it, I think I was a little bit more okay with her relationship with Jaemin than I was this time around by far. Like, I was completely like, girl, run from the hills, run away. He's the devil, get away from him now. Yet, so when she gets to this moment where she's like, I promised I would never give my heart to him. I told him I would never give my heart to him. I would never, 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 never. But now that I'm here in Bali, like, my heart's with him. And I was just like, girl, are you kidding me? And Inwook's there, laying there, staring at the ceiling, crying. And so they're having this moment, right? And they're in this bed. And guess who busts in the room? Yep, you guessed it, Jaemin. And he busts in the room, doesn't bat a lash, doesn't wait for a hello, welcome, nice to see you again. Pulls out a gun, shoots Inwook, and then shoots Soojung. And the minute he shoots Soojung and she's gasping for her final breaths, he crawls to her, holding her arm, holding her hand, crying, I love you. And she says, I love you, and dies. Yeah, the end, right? He leaves that scene after killing two people, walks into the beaches of Bali, and he kills himself. So yes, that is the ending, the bloody ending of what happened in Bali. Now, let me wrap this episode up with some of my favorite parts of this drama and my least favorite parts of this drama. Let me start with my least favorite part of this drama, and that is the absolute amount of violence that is in this drama. And not the kind of gory violence that we see today and the like dramas that we currently watch. It's just like this violence that is so, to me, much worse and painful. The violence that was in this drama was so real, and not the dramatic slaps and whatnot, but like the violence of, you know, someone needing money and someone knowing you need money and exploiting that. Like, that is absolute violence to do that to someone. And that was nothing but Jaemin and Soojung's relationship. Like, he knew what she needed and he wanted certain things from her, and he exploited that. So horrible to watch, absolutely horrible to watch. Other parts were just how horrible J-Man was with her physically, as far as like the sexual advances, the things that he would proposition her, like those type of things were so hard to watch, because there are moments when you can see her just like give up and like lay there. And it was just like, no, Soo Jung, you don't have to do this kind of thing. The other thing is like, some of the length of like the scenes were really long, and I'm not meaning like the important moments, but like some of the side plots and side characters, like some of that stuff would go on for a long time. I felt like the dialogue was a lot. They give a lot of dialogue to a lot of those characters, and I would sometimes think, okay, this could have been cut. Totally could have been cut, but you know, things like that I did not like. But I have to say my absolute favorite part of this drama was the writing, because there is something so apparently crisp and clean about the way this story is told. And it allowed for, because it was told so cleanly, you got the opportunity to really grow with these characters. Like every episode you got more and more about these characters. Did you like these characters? No, not at all. But did you actually learn so much about them, and you start to really expect certain things from them, and you could guess what they were going to do because of who you knew they were, to who you have become to know them as. Like it was perfect, and exactly what I think I feel I miss in dramas today. I feel like dramas today don't put that much importance on characters and their true development as dramas from yesteryear did. And this is the first drama that I'm throwing it back to, but I have to say, I know this from personal experience, that there are more dramas I'm going to watch that this is an example that they do the same thing, where character, mind you, this is a very plot heavy story. There are a lot of plot happenings. There are a lot of moving pieces in this story. And so plot is not like secondary to the characters, but it took the time to really develop its characters. And to me, you can't say it didn't do that. Even if the characters were absolutely horrible and should have probably, you know, had the ending that they had, they still, I mean, did such a beautiful job at showing these characters, and the skill, the expertise it was done, it's missing these days. It's really missing. So hands down, 10 out of 10. My absolute favorite part of this drama was the writing was, to me, perfection. It was to a T. They knew what they were doing with the plot. They knew what they were doing with those characters. Mind you, may not have been happy with those characters, but they knew what they were doing with them. And so have to give all my favorite to that aspect of this drama. My other favorite part of this drama are the performances. They won Baek-sung awards for In-sung and Ji-won. They both won awards, and they were well-deserved. Well-deserved. Like, I mean, when I tell you, oh my goodness, when I tell you the amount of times that I was kind of like gasped at watching some of the scenes and some of the dialogues and some of the moments in this drama because of the performance alone, I was in, like, my mouth would be open. I would be like, it would take my breath away for a moment. Like, whoa, I felt that. Like, it was crazy. It was crazy, the visceral reaction I had to the performances of this drama. And I don't know if they're doing it like this anymore. When I tell you In-sung in this, one of my favorite performances of him, hands down. Mind you, yet he's the worst character in this, and absolutely no forgiving grace, no forgiveness is given to this character by any means, by me saying that his performance was top tier, but it was top tier. You can't tell me his performance does not completely blow you out of the water after watching this. I mean, there's moments where there's this one scene where they, you know, there's this one scene where Soo Jung tells J-Man basically like, you know, I can't do this with you anymore. Like this, whatever this is that we're doing, I can't do this anymore. And he breaks completely down. Like, he is on his knees, he's holding on to her, like crying and just like begging, basically. And it was, oh my goodness, like, as much as I could not stand his character, the way I watched that scene, I was just like floored. Again, G1's performance during that scene was just beautifully done. So, oh my goodness, they deserved all the awards that they got for this performance, their performances in this drama, hands down. And they were, to me, like standouts in this drama. So I couldn't walk away without highlighting how amazing they were in this. And to me, if you could stomach this drama, that might be a reason long to watch it for the performances, for sure. So back now to my next question, one of my final questions to myself is, would I recommend this drama? So initially I will say no. I would not recommend this drama based off of the fact that it's just so triggering and it's so violent. And like I said, in a violence that is different than what we watch, I think, these days. And so it's just, sometimes it's like, it's not worth it to put yourself through that pain. It's just, sometimes it's not worth it. It's just not. So in that regard, I do not recommend it. However, for certain things that I think, if you appreciate K-dramas for being this mechanism of you know, the art of storytelling, like I do, I highly recommend this drama. Because again, this to me is a prime example of a style of K-drama that I think is, you know, not common these days. So it's definitely a style from yesteryear, of its time to some degree, and which makes sense. But at the same time, there is this art form of storytelling that it is an example of that I think people should see. Like, I think you gotta see what this drama does as far as storytelling and how it works to kind of appreciate more what I think I love about K-dramas. And I highly recommend it for that. But again, there's reasons not to watch this drama. And then to me, there are reasons that are, you know, very, I think, personal to me that make me want to have watched this drama. If someone would have been like, yeah, it has these things in it, but this is a reason to watch it, that would be a reason for me. And then the performances, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. So performances, so good. So did I like this drama? Is there merit in this drama? And so yes, I did like this drama. I believe that there is still merit and people going back and watching this drama who have never watched it before. However, I also don't think it is a drama that is necessarily worth some of the pain and triggering situations that it puts its characters through. I don't know if it's necessarily worth it to watch it because of that, but there is merit there, just with the style of drama and how they told their story. That is enough merit for me to actually watch this drama. And I like this drama because, again, I appreciated the writing, I appreciated the directing, I appreciated the performances. And I think at the end of the day, like, what the story was really getting to, it got to, right? I think what it was trying to tell, it told. It had a lot to do with, you know, what is love? What is obsession? What is also needed for capitalistic success? That is more obsession, right? You need to be obsessed with the idea of money to be successful in capitalism, right? And I feel like that was one of the things that the drama was getting to as well. Then this idea of, you know, hurt people who are dealing with abuse and pain and hurt being, you know, put upon them, can turn around and do the same to others. And instead of doing that, they do need to recognize that and allow for themselves to embrace actual love when it could be there. Like, love could have been there in this drama and people did not allow it because of what they were dealing with, which is heartbreaking, right? And then, you know, just this idea that I needed them all to not be in each other's lives. And so it was so frustrating to watch them continue to, you know, run into each other, bump into each other and rub elbows with each other, knowing that they were so bad for each other, all of them. This foursome was just all around not good times. And even when you thought you had a little bit of good moments with In-wook and Soo-jung, it was still shrouded with, I think, for her, at least, Soo-jung, this shame of knowing that she was drawn to this man because of his wealth and his money and what he could provide for her. And then a man who could not provide those things for her, she didn't give the chance that she probably should have initially. And then the minute she's like, okay, I'll settle for him, she had already felt, she feels too much for the man that was doing nothing but hurting her. So there's a lot of shame with that character. And so when she ends up, you know, at the end being shot and killed by Jaemin, and before then she's talking to In-wook, you can see she's talking about that shame. She's talking about how much she hates that about what has happened, is that she has done this to herself in some regard. And really, she hasn't. No, you know what I mean? No, like, she is not to blame in the things that really happened to her life. It is living in this kind of capitalistic world where you have to have money to have stability and not be desperate enough to do horrible things, right? And so it's not her. And I like that about the story as well, because I think it does come back and kind of reveal that to us, is that she shouldn't blame herself. We don't blame her, right? I don't blame her for what has taken place in her life and how she ends up in the end. Like, it's not her fault. It's not her fault at any point. It's the fault of the state of this world that we're all living in, and where money rules, where money keeps you alive, where money is the thing that allows you to live and breathe. And if you don't have it, you might as well be dead, right? I mean, I'm not saying that's true, but I'm saying, like, kind of how the drama positions itself. And I think this, again, is a drama of its time, because it talks about this, because I know during that time in, like, Korea, these dramas were very popular, where it was about this poor girl or poor person situation and this rich person situation and the plight of that, but then also this idea of absolute violence and death at the end, where people watching this, there was some catharticism in watching these people be relieved from all the pain and suffering of living in this capitalistic world by dying at the end. And so watching these dramas kind of was an experience for people during that time. So I know there's, like, actual articles written about that in these types of dramas from early 2000s. So, I mean, that's a real thing. And I think this drama does a wonderful job of kind of talking about that theme. And so, yes, I recommend it, and also I don't, you know. And did I like this drama? Yes, even second time around, I did like it. I think I liked it more this time around than I did the first time around, to be honest with you, because I think I appreciate so much more about it this time, all while still recognizing how horrible it is in a lot of spots. So just wow. So this was my first Throwing It Back episode of this new season 4. And I have to say, I think this was a great start for me. It has done so much to start me thinking about what I love about K-dramas and what I have continued to love about K-dramas and what is going on with me in K-dramas currently, right? This is going to be an exercise, I think, all year long. And I'm already, I think, notating moments where I'm like, this is why I love K-dramas. I think I'm making a running list right now in my head of, like, this is why I love K-dramas in particular, specifically, and what I appreciate about K-dramas and what I don't appreciate about K-dramas. Like, I'm starting to make this list in my head, and it's so amazing to do. So thank you guys for giving me this opportunity to even think of doing a season like this and bring you guys along for it. Again, I know this may not be the season for everyone. I know everyone may not care about these dramas from the early 2000s and, you know, the early 2010s. I know, and I completely relate and get it. But I do hope that there's something that you can get from some of these episodes, if not just a new drama to watch, but maybe something about me and my appreciation for dramas. Maybe you'll at least get that. And so that is it, guys. That is my Throwing It Back with Lola, What Happened in Bali episode. Thank you guys for listening. I'm so glad that you guys were here. I know this is a wild ride, something different, but I am so grateful again that you guys are allowing me to do this. But that's it. That's all for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. And whether you're listening in the morning or in the afternoon or in the evening, I hope you have a great day. So everyone, It's been real. Lola's off.